If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. On this last Sunday of 1972, we do well to take an inventory of our spiritual lives. All throughout the business world, men are taking inventory of their stock. They are finding out what they've done business-wise in 1972 and how they can improve on their business in the coming year of 1973. Would not we be wise to do the same thing in our spiritual lives? Let us ask ourselves the questions, where have we been in 1972? What have we done for the cause of Christ and righteousness? Are our lives pleasing unto the Lord? Have we been profitable to the cause of Christ? Have we been assets to the cause, or have we been liabilities? These are questions that I believe every believer, every child of God, every born-again one should ask in the closing moments of 1972. We face in 1973 a brand new year with a new challenge to serve God. As the old year dies and the new year is born, we do well to stop and think of the good things the Lord has done for us in the days gone by. My, how God has blessed Worth Baptist Church. We have seen the greatest year in our history, and we're looking forward to even a greater year in the days to come. Those of you who are listening perhaps for the very first time today, Worth Baptist Hour is now in its fourth year of broadcasting. This ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and Worth Baptist Church will soon celebrate its 19th anniversary. On the first Sunday of March, 1973, Worth Baptist Church will be 19 years old. On the first Sunday of January, 1 week from today, I will have pastored Worth Baptist Church for 11 years. These have been good days, and we're looking forward to better days as the Lord tarries His coming in 1973. The purpose of this broadcast is to bring Christ into your home. We believe more than ever before that there's a great need for the preaching of the gospel, the truth of the Word of God. And it is our intent and desire, our purpose and our aim to uphold Christ, to preach the Word, to stand for the truth and for righteousness in the days ahead. Why not call someone right now and tell them that Worth Baptist Hour is on the air? KBUY 1540 on the dial. Share the gospel with a friend. And if you are not attending Sunday school and church somewhere else, let me take this opportunity on the last Sunday of 1972 to extend to you a very personal invitation to attend the Sunday School of Worth Baptist Church. Our Sunday School is thoroughly graded. It is carefully supervised. We have a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level. We are currently in a series of studies in our Sunday School in surveying the entire Bible. We survey one book every Sunday. Today, our study will be in the book of 1 Timothy, and we believe that it would be a blessing and a joy to you and to your family to come today to the Sunday School of Worth Baptist Church at 10 o'clock, where we are teaching the whole Bible to the whole Sunday School to enlighten the whole family to the whole truth. Our Sunday morning worship service begins at 11 o'clock, and our Sunday evening worship hour is at 7. These services are planned to meet your spiritual needs. So we invite you to come today to the Sunday School, to the morning worship hour, to the Sunday evening worship hour of Worth Baptist Church. We are located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. Worth Baptist Church is easily accessible from all parts of the city of Fort Worth and of Tarrant County by the Pauley Freeway, that's Highway 287 South, and by Loop 820. And so we invite you to come today to study the Word of God, to fellowship with God's people, and to worship the Christ of God in the services of Worth Baptist Church. And we would like to hear from you by mail this week. We only want to know if you're receiving this gospel ministry and what it means to your life. Write us today. Our mailing address is Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. It would be our joy to hear from you this week. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled Famous Families in the Bible. I shall read one verse of Scripture for my text, the book of Proverbs, chapter 12, and verse 7. But before we read this verse, I invite you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee for the gospel of redeeming grace. We thank Thee that Thou hast redeemed us by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the church and for the Bible and for the Lord's Day and for an opportunity to serve Thee. We would pray today that as this broadcast goes into hearts and homes all over this community, that Thou wouldst bless everyone who listens. Particularly would we pray for those who are lost, for those whose families are on the rocks, for those who are about to give up, for those who need a helping hand and a guiding light in these days of spiritual darkness. May this message and this broadcast bring light and hope to every heart and every home, is our prayer in Jesus' name and for His sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. And now the book of Proverbs, chapter 12 and verse 7. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. The house of the righteous shall stand. Famous families in the Bible. I have read to you a proverb from the book of God. A proverb is defined as a short, pithy saying which conveys a profound truth. Now, I do not believe that there is a more profound truth anywhere than that which is found in the words of this proverb. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. There is an ancient Chinese proverb which says, if there's righteousness in the heart, there'll be beauty in the character. If there's beauty in the character, there'll be harmony in the home. If there's harmony in the home, there'll be order in the nation. And if there's order in the nation, there'll be peace in the world. The home plays a vital role in the affairs of the world. The oldest institution known to man is the family. I know we're living in the days when many are looking with disdain upon marriage and the institution of the family. But I believe the family is here to stay because God Himself ordained the family. God brought the first man, Adam, and the first woman, Eve, together and joined them as husband and wife and gave them a holy decree to reproduce and to bring forth children that all the world might be inhabited. So, the home, the family, is older than the state, it's older than the nation, it's older than the tabernacle, it's older than the temple, it's older than the synagogue, or the school, or the church. Someone might ask, but what is the home? I would answer by saying, first of all, the home is the basic unit of society. All else stems from the home. The home is the flagship of morality. The morals of the home govern the morals of the community. The home is the cornerstone of democracy. No nation on earth is any stronger than the homes that make it up. The home is the bulwark of security. The little girl answered well when she was asked, "What is home?" She answered, "It's where we go when it gets dark." The home is the backbone of Christianity. The church is only what the families make it. Show me the books that a family reads. Show me the entertainment that they engage in, the language that they speak. and I'll show you the moral and spiritual temperature of that home. You parents who are listening this morning, may I say this to you? If you eat onions and garlic, don't expect your children to smell like roses. Your children will never be any more than what you are. They'll never be more than what you instill in their hearts and minds while they're young. That's why it's so important for you to bring your children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. That's why it's important for you to have them in Sunday school and in church today and every Lord's Day. The home in the Greek is defined a shrine for the gods. And how appropriate it is in the realm of Christianity that we take that definition. Your home and mine should be a place where God abides. Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Come down from the sycamore tree, for this day I must abide at thy house." The function of the home is threefold. First, there is a biological function. This has to do with reproduction through birth of the offspring. Second, sociological. The first contact with society is made within the family circle. And third, theological. The biblical instruction must begin in the home, so says Deuteronomy chapter 6, where the elders of Israel are instructed to teach their children the Word of God. A newspaper article recently appeared under this heading, First Aid to Ailing Houses. It gave the how-to on stopping leaks, repairing the roof, getting rid of ants and rodents and flies, and all of these things. But the real problem, ladies and gentlemen, is not in ailing houses. The real problem is in ailing homes. And there is a difference. The main difference between a house and a home is love. A house is built by hands. A home is built by hearts. Victor Hugo once said, and I quote, "A house is built of logs and stone, of tiles and posts and piers. A home is built of loving deeds that last 1,000 years. A trade magazine entitled The American Builder recently gave this information, that in a recent year, 10 million new houses provided a market for the following things: 95 billion board feet of lumber, 36 billion bricks, 23 billion pounds of cement, 20 million tons of steel, 630 million square feet of glass, 470 million pounds of aluminum, 3 billion pounds of copper. All of this added together put $100 billion into the wealth of America." This is big business, you say, and rightly so. It is big business. House building is one of the biggest businesses in America, but it is small when compared to the task of building Christian homes. Famous families in the Bible. Let us note, first of all, the family of Noah. Here was a family that accepted God's invitation. God said to Noah, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark." Now the ark is a symbol, a type, a foreshadowing of Christ. So God invited Noah to come into the safety of Christ, the safety of the ark, into salvation. And Noah and his family accepted God's invitation. May I ask you a pertinent and personal and pointed question today? Have you, Daddy, have you, Mother, have you accepted God's invitation to bring your family into the ark of safety? Then there was Lot's family. We might say that Lot's family was the family that was sabotaged. A number of things might be said about Lot's family that contributed to his being sabotaged: his selfish ambition, his desire to have all spiritual restraint cast off him, his going down to Sodom and Gomorrah to get profit and gain. And beloved, many people are doing the same thing today. But look at the price that Lot paid. He lost his home. He lost his position. He lost his wife. He lost his daughters. He lost his family. He lost self-respect. He lost fellowship with Abraham, and he lost fellowship with God. For in Sodom and Gomorrah there were no altars. There was no place of prayer. Lot became the great loser because his family was sabotaged. What are some of the things that are sabotaging the American home? I mention only a few. Divorce. One out of every four marriages in the United States is ending in divorce. 95% of these go uncontested. In Gibbon's Fall and Decline of the Roman Empire, he listed divorce as the number one cause of Rome's fall. And I believe that our great nation is headed in the same direction. When so little emphasis is put on marriage and family relationships, and so much is put on promiscuity, I believe that we are headed in the same direction. I pray God that we can reverse this trend by an old-fashioned revival that will sweep America to her knees before God. Someone asked Henry Ford when he celebrated his golden wedding anniversary, "To what do you attribute your 50 years of marriage?" And he answered, "In marriage, I use the same formula as in making cars. I stick to one model." A second thing that's sabotaging the American home is alcohol. I read recently that 19 out of every 20 inmates in prison are there due to alcohol. One half of the more than 50,000 people that were killed on the highways of the United States in this year could be attributed to alcohol and alcoholism. Beloved, alcohol is taking its toll all across America and around the world. It is sabotaging the American home. Then another sabotage of the American home is drugs. Heroin addiction, I understand, has increased from 50,000 to over 600,000 addicts in the last 10 years. On every hand, on every market, in the schools, in industry, in business, and wherever you go, drugs has become a curse to America. Then there's another thing that's sabotaging the American home, and that's permissiveness. Just plain permissiveness. Listen to this that appeared in a church bulletin not long ago. Once there was a little boy, and when he was 3 weeks old, his parents turned him over to a babysitter. When he was two, they dressed him up like a cowboy and gave him a gun. When he was three, everybody said, "How cute," as he went about lisping a beer commercial. When he was six, his father dropped him off at Sunday school. When he was eight, they brought him a BB rifle and taught him to shoot sparrows. He learned to shoot windshields by himself. When he was 10, he spent his afternoons at the drugstore in the newsstand reading comic books and pornography. Later, he spent his evenings watching violence, sex, and crime on TV. His mother wasn't home, and his father was just too busy. When he was 13, he told his parents that other boys stayed out as late as they wanted to. So they said he could too. It was easier that way. When he was 15, they gave him a car, wrangled a license for him to drive it, and simply told him to be careful. When he was 16, the police called his home one night and said to his daddy, "We have your boy. He's in serious trouble." The father screamed, "It can't be my boy." But it was. And beloved, that is the story of many a boy in the world today. Permissiveness is sabotaging the American home. The late J. Edgar Hoover was right when he said, "Criminals are not born, they are homegrown." The greatest school that any child can attend is the school of discipline. Yes, the American home today, like Lot's home in the long ago, is being sabotaged. Then let's look at Joshua's family for a moment. He was a family that chose to serve the Lord. Joshua, you remember, said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Luther Burbank once said, and I quote, "If we paid no more attention to our plants than to our children, we would have a garden full of weeds." Beloved, it is the father's responsibility, and I charge you, daddies listening to this broadcast and this message, it is your responsibility to get your family in Sunday school and in church and on the way to heaven today. Then there's another family that I would have us note, and that's the rich man's family. In the Bible, we read about a man whose family was invaded by death. A family into which death came. Beloved, death comes to every family. Statistics prove that death comes to every American family on the average of every 11 years. Death is coming to your home. Death is coming to your family. What about it? When death comes, will that family member of yours who will be taken out in death be ready to meet God? In a class one time, the teacher of junior boys asked the class to write an essay on the topic religion in the home. One little boy raised his hand, and when the teacher acknowledged him, he said, "Teacher, we ain't got no religion in our home." And what a sad commentary that is on many homes today. Many homes have no religious instruction, no religious teaching. And I tell you today that this is sabotaging the American home. Then finally, there's the family of the Philippian jailer. This was the family that was saved at midnight. You know the story in the Bible, how that Paul in jail prayed and preached, and the Philippian jailer came under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that he asked the question, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And that same 16th chapter of the book of Acts tells us that in the same night the Philippian jailer was saved, and his family were saved, and they were all baptized. Beloved, I ask you today, is your family saved? Have you united with the church? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Has salvation come to your heart and to your home and to your family? On this very last Sunday of 1972, would you not think for a moment about what your home is like and what it could be like? Christ will make all the difference in the world in your home. Going to church and honoring God and reading the Bible and worshiping together as a family unit will make a difference in your home. Perhaps today your home is almost broken up. Perhaps divorce is the next step. Don't let it be. Bring the family to Christ. Bring the family to the Bible. Bring the family to Sunday school and church. And let your family today make a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let Christ be in your home and in your family. Give God a chance in your life today. Why don't you just bring the whole family to Worth Baptist Church today? Just get all the kiddos ready. Mother and Daddy, get the whole family together and end out 1972 in the proper way in the house of the Lord. I trust that you'll do it, and may the Lord bless you as you do. Until next Lord's Day at this same time, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.